Saga Egmont presents The Sect, a detective Raum thriller by Michael Katz-Krefeld. Translated by Lindy Falk van Royen and read by Peter Noble.
1. He was sitting at the head of the kitchen table. It was mid-October, and in the garden outside, the pruned fruit trees were silhouetted against the evening sky. His son was sitting to his left. The boy had just turned 6, and he was trying to impale a chip on his plate with the fork that was clenched in one fist. The other hand rested on a blue toy car with peeling paint on its bonnet. He glanced at his son. The boy had features that reflected his own, a baby hawk nose, a mouth that drooped at the corners, and close-set eyes that lent both father and son an eternally pensive expression. He reached out and stroked the boy's head. The boy let himself be stroked. The chubby cheeks and freckles he had inherited from his mother, who was standing by the stove with her back turned. She fished chips out of the frying pan and dumped them next to the golden brown Wiener Schnitzel on the plate that was within reach on the kitchen counter by the hob. "Would you like peas as well?" she asked her husband without turning round.
"Yes, please. Just a few,"
her husband said, laying a serviette on his lap to shield the navy suit trousers from droplets of frying oil. Apart from the shiny black shoes he'd kicked off at the door in favor of a pair of comfy camel wool slippers, he hadn't had the chance to change after work, so he was still dressed in a pale blue shirt and navy suit jacket.
"What about you?" he said, turning to his son with a smile. "Would you also like some peas?"
The boy shook his head violently.
"No, but you've always liked peas, right?"
The boy nodded and opened his mouth, which was full of food.
"Yes, it's just that they're so hard to eat."
"We don't talk with a full mouth," he said sternly.
His wife put his plate of food in front of him and sat down with her own plate in her hand. She started squirting ketchup over her chips and fried veal. The bags under her eyes and her chapped lips made her look much older than her 32 years. He remembered that the first time they met, it was her smile he had fallen for back then. But she seldom smiled anymore. She was a housewife, stayed home most of the time, and for the life of him, he couldn't fathom why she should be so exhausted all the time. He poured her a glass of juice from the jug standing on the table. She gave him a brief nod of thanks. His son had given up on the chip. The boy was absorbed in vrooming his toy car around the flower pattern racecourse on the tablecloth. Faster and faster, louder and louder, till he took a hairpin bend around his juice glass. Then the boy yawned, open-mouthed, and his car sputtered to a halt.
"We don't play at the dinner table," she said.
"That's all right. Let him play," he said.
A look of surprise came over his wife's face. Understandably, of course, for he was the one who made the rules, including the ones pertaining to table manners.
"Drink your juice, my boy,"
he said with a smile. The boy did as he was told and gulped down his juice at once.
"How was your day?"
his wife asked with her mouth full.
"It was fine, thank you."
"Anything special today?"
"No, not really. Same as usual."
"Nothing special at all," she said.
He put down his knife and fork, picked up the serviette in his lap and dabbed the corners of his mouth.
"Please don't misunderstand me, because I think it's kind of you to ask about my work. But there's really no point, my dear. For if I were to start sharing the content or details of the tasks I performed in the course of my day, any day of the week, you wouldn't begin to understand what I was saying. So with all respect, having a conversation with you is meaningless."
His wife blinked rapidly, swallowed the food in her mouth in one gulp, and nearly choked on it.
It's just that I thought it would be nice to talk. We can talk about something else.